Hello, welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. Finally, after many attempts to deal with the challenges of recording this monthly podcast that never goes out when we schedule it, but I think this finally it is going to be live. This time I have here with me Cesar Rodas. Hello, Cesar. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
I'm being very patient because after all the failures to record, it's one more try. This time Nanny could not make it, but okay, maybe next month you can make it. Yeah, it's always
next
a challenge. I think so. I think this year is probably the last. Anyway, yeah. This time we have several interesting topics to comment, so we better get started soon because we need to move on very quickly so it doesn't take longer than usual. And this month we start as usual by the usual coverage of the releases at PHP. This time there was PHP 5.5.6, but although there is another release more recent, because we are already recording this too late, but looking at this list of changes, it's mostly bug fixes. I did not see anything, any change of behavior, any improvement. I don't know how. I haven't been trying this much. And there was also a release of 5.4.22, which is more or less the same set of bugs that were fixed. Cesar, are you keeping up with the updates of the versions of PHP that are coming out?
Let me see right now in my computer. I have... Like, I upgraded all my packages, like, 3 days ago. Now it says that I have PHP 5.5.6, and it's not the latest one. The latest one has been released yesterday, which is the 5.7. Yeah. But, yes, like, before that, I was working with the last release from PHP 5.4, and then my operating system, it just decided to switch to 5.5. And
right.
Personally, I didn't have to change anything in any projects, and I have like many, many projects working here on my local host. Everything
right.
Just works fine. I had to recompile a couple of extensions, though. I believe that should be automatic at some point. But
right.
Other than that, everything was fine.
Yeah, so are you compiling manually or are you using some distribution prepackaged versions?
For PHP itself, I used to compile that, but it's too much hassle just for my local host because I need to just go to Apache and reconfigure it. So I stopped doing that. I do that for my production servers, though. But I have a couple of extensions that I install via Pickle, like Xdebug and MongoDB, the Mongo client. So those two classes, I had to reinstall it. But other than that, everything was just fine.
So you, for your development environment, you use Apache or you are using the built-in HTTP server?
The built-in HTTP server, I didn't play with it. I started a couple of times. It's very, very useful. I might start using it, but I got used to what I have, which is Apache,
right.
And I don't know what version, but the latest one, I guess, 2.something. And I have to go for every new idea that they have, and I need to create a virtual host. That is really annoying. So I might start using the built-in server. Actually, I see here in the change list of the 5.5.7 that they added two functions. The first is get all headers and the Apache response header. So those two functions, they were apparently missing because those functions, they are just a thin layer over the SAPI module. So it is a different implementation for each web server. So they make it look consistent now. So that is really good. And I forgot to mention that for my production servers, I use FastCGI and Nginx. And works just fine. Like, literally, I don't have, like, what I have on my Beetle, on my laptop, I push it to production and works. Like, that's
right. So are you using PHP 5.5 or not yet on production?
On production, no, but just because I'm lazy, but I might do that at some point. With 5.4 and in the latest version that was released, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, so now it is not the latest version.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should try it 5.5 in a development environment for a while before you decide to move on, because you may stumble into issues that may break in production. It's probably are you running in production. I don't know if it is important or just some test side.
My personal projects, they are not important. So, but at work, I believe we are using an old version, 5.3. So most of my libraries that I want to use at work, they don't work, because I love one of the new features of PHP, which is the short syntax array, so I use it everywhere now. For that tiny change, it doesn't work on any older version than PHP 5.4.
Okay. Well, moving on with the podcast, let's just cover a bit about the latest proposals. And before you actually move on to the proposals themselves, let me just mention there is now a to-do list page for PHP 5.6, actually. And it already mentions, let me increase the font here, what is the planned timetable for this this new PHP version. So according to this timetable, the first alpha release will be about 1 month, in January. So for now, they are mentioned that there are no new RFCs, no new features, and for the beta, which is planned for March, and if all goes well in June, they plan to release 5.6 and keep up with the plan to have at least one major upgrade. Well, not really major, medium. It's not minor, it's not major, it's medium upgrade every year. About the planned features, there are some RFCs that most of them, they already talked about them, not going to cover them here again, but it's always interesting for those that were not aware to come here and talk about them. As for new proposals, let's move on here. Lately, there have been some discussions about, for instance, what they call expectations, which is basically to have certain conditions to throw exceptions instead of issue some fatal error. This is a bit odd because, well, if you want to throw exceptions, you might as well write a condition, if statement, and then throw the exceptions yourself. I don't know if this would really need to have a proposal for a new feature. I don't know. What do you think, Cesar? Do you see a useful feature?
I don't really, like, I am waiting to the introduction once again, so what they are, basically what's different is that they said that this will be, like, in your production server, you will disable it, so like when you are like doing your real web pages, like you wouldn't test things, so that exception that will be gone basically.
So
it could be useful. I mean, but if I would have to vote for this feature, I would probably say future, because it could be useful, but it's not needed. Like, if we won't make of PHP a more beautiful language, it yet another thing that we have to learn. So, but it has good intentions, as far as I can tell.
Well, this is all a sign that PHP is already such a perfect language that all the new proposals seem to be things that you probably will not really need that much. I don't know.
Yeah. The thing is that I believe that many people are coming from other languages where they can play like with a couple of syntax sugar on top of their language, and they can make it look sort of like they are doing something else, and because they can't do this with PHP, which is something brilliant, because that is what made gave Facebook the possibility to just implement a new PHP implementation which runs faster, which runs in the machine code. So they are proposing all these things. If I could vote and I can vote, I would say no. So I will just wait until they can call for votes, if they ever reach that stage, and I would probably vote no.
Yeah, but are you a voter? I'm not sure.
I could vote, yes. I could vote because I contributed with a Pickle extension long time ago.
But so, do you vote on proposals or just the ones that annoy you?
I vote on proposals that I believe that they are going to make PHP a better place. So in this whole time of RSV or RFC, that I believe it's great, the possibility that anyone could just contribute, I vote like 3 times, and two times were for a yes, and one was for a no. I don't remember. It was like 6 months ago, probably.
Did it make a difference for you? I mean, did your vote change anything, or just...
No. Like, most people were voting about the same thing, so... it didn't make a difference, but they aren't many votes though. Like, last time I checked was like for 20 votes, 30 votes for the most controversial things. But yes, I just vote whenever I can see that something could make PHP better, or could just make it a horrible thing. I vote no.
Okay, well, moving on to the next topic. Actually, there was a topic that we're going to jump because we already covered in the past, I remember now, and then now I'm going to comment about the power operator, which is basically a proposal to have two asterisks as an operator that represents the power operation. You take a number and take it to the power of another number. So basically, this is syntactic sugar. You can have the power operator turned into a call to the power function. And I think they mention here also GMP overloading, which means that if you are using arbitrary and precision numbers, it will eventually return an arbitrary and precision result, which is good for whoever needs to make calculations without losing precision.
For this feature, I might vote yes. And the reason being is that there is a tiny difference between a compiler construction and one function call. So when you call a function in PHP, there is a tiny overhead, but so tiny that you cannot just even measure it. But when you call that function, say, I'm calculating something, and I'm called the same function like a million times, that does make a difference. So, and when you are using like mathematic things, that overhead, it doesn't exist. So, this feature, I kind of like it. So,
yeah. So do you think there will be a noticeable speed improvement if we have many calls to the power function? When you use an operator like this, or probably not, will not be very noticeable?
Many people, they wouldn't even care. Like myself, I didn't even care until in a project I was calling a function that was array something that was just take a portion of one vector, and it was for one IE things. I was just classifying text, so I called that function literally in my test suites like a million times, but literally a million times. So and the whole program, it was taking like 6 seconds, which isn't that much. But then I thought, what happens if instead of just calling this function, which is a native function, which I expect to be fast, that was really fast, what happens if I just replace it with a for each loop until I need it, and then I break it? And my program, it was from 6 seconds to 1 second, so there was a lot of improvements. But that is a very, very special case. So that you wouldn't measure that thing if you are just doing websites. Like, it's not possible.
Yeah. Well, let's see if this is actually will make any noticeable difference when it is released. For now, we're going to move on to another new proposal, which is actually something that has already been developed, but it's a proposal for a new PHP debugger called PHP DBG. And basically, this proposes to implement this PHP DBG as a SAPI module. So instead of interfacing with a web server or CLI, probably just be a debug version of that. So it will be connecting to the debugger. And here is the page of the proposal, and there is also the website for this debugger. And I don't know, Cesar, have you tried this debugger already, or just at least look at the pages?
No, it looks like GDB. I don't know if they share any code, but looks like it. I never use any debugger, not because I don't need it. I need it, but they are just too complex to my tiny little head, so I don't use them. I use Xdebug though. Like, I like how it change how Vardan looks and how my exception, how it shows, how it brings me so much information, so I can just fix things quickly. I never use a debugger. I believe this could be good to somebody, but not me. That doesn't mean that this is wrong. It means that I might never use it. And I was in a podcast last Saturday, and one of the topics was about how to make Xdebug a real-time debugger with some IDE that I don't remember. It was one of these in Java. I believe it was Eclipse or the other one. I don't remember, but basically, with some configurations that are really simple, you could just do like how you debug JavaScript from Chrome. Like, you,
yeah.
So you can tell it just open me this web page and stop here. So PHP will actually do that. So you can just jump to your IDE and say, okay, just show me all the variables, values, just jump or just post there. It was really cool. I never used it though. So, and this thing seems that, but for another kind of people, like for more smarter people. And certainly, I don't fit there, so I won't use it, but seems cool.
Well, this is a bit confusing because it says that it would work as a SAPI extension, but at the same time it says that it is a SAPI agnostic. Would it be possible to have multiple SAPIs on one PHP environment?
I think so. I think what they're trying to say is, I might be wrong. I will be wrong. So what I believe is that they will just bundle it into an extension, so you can use all their utilities and all their debug functions from Apache or from any other web server, and also it will come with their own interface, which looks pretty much like the GDB. So that's what I understand, but that might be wrong. So, although I don't know who are maintaining these projects, but I have to say these things are really complex machine code. So, it's really complex. I saw the source code of Xdebug, and all the sort of dark magic that are happening there are just amazing.
Yeah. Well. Let's see how this goes, because so far I'm not sure if there's a real need for yet another debugger, but I think it won't hurt either. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah, voting already, so even if I vote now, it makes no difference. There are 34 votes for yes and 0 for no, so I believe that it will come bundled in the next PHP versions.
Actually, all the... it has been approved for by everybody, so...
it will be there.
Oh, how useful this will become.
Yeah.
Well, okay, now moving on to yet another feature. Actually, we are going to go back, because last month we had two guests that came to talk about security. And so that episode is just about security features. So there are some features not related to security that were left behind. But I think they are somehow important. One of them is about automatic property initialization. Let me share the screen here. And what this means in practice is that when you create an object, you can pass to the constructor values for variables that will be automatically initialized when the object is created. Well, I think this is interesting. This is useful. That probably will save you some keystrokes. I don't know if it is really something necessary, but it seems useful. What do you think, sir?
I'm looking at both proposals. I believe that the second one, which is the constructive promotion, it's rather confusing. It will bring so much confusion.
Yeah.
Like, it changes how a method is defined, and when you are looking at a method, because people follow certain standards always, like properties are defined first. So when you are looking into one class to see how many properties are defined, you would have to look into two places now, into the top of the class definition and into the constructor. And what happens when that class has a private or a parent class? I'm sorry. So I would have to just look into too many places. So that will defeat all the purpose of just saving you a few keystrokes and will just bring so much problem. And the other one, it looks weird because you see this into your functions signature. So it even weirder because the body of the function is optional. So that is really weird. But if I'm forced to just choose between one of these proposals, I would choose about the automatic property initialization. I'm right. not saying that. I mean, this is the less evil, so sort of speaking.
Well, I think if you don't want to use it, just don't use it. But probably for other people that won't use it, it will be great. Anyway, moving on with the next proposal, at least debate that is going on the PHP internals. I'm not sure if this discussion already ended, but there is a proposal here to somehow rename the get and post variables to form and query, because, for instance, when you have a post request, you may also get some get variables. So they thought that the names are not consistent. They should rename them. Well, I don't know if after so many years calling things get and post, it will be of any benefit to replace these names. What do you think, Cesar?
That makes no sense at all. Like, if it bothers you, at the top of your script, just rename them. And if you want to do that in the PHP ini file, in the configuration file, you can just tell it, okay, PHP, just prepend these files for every single request or for every time you execute something. And there you can just change however those superglobal functions are named if that really bothers you. But I see, like, imagine people just upgrading PHP from whatever version just for that little stupid change. That makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. If you ask me, I would vote no.
Yes, right. It's totally unnecessary backwards incompatible change because everybody got so used to call it get and post. Why bother changing it to something else? Well, anyway, this is just a discussion. I did not follow it to the end, but I think it did not go anywhere. And okay, now moving on to a topic this time more related with something that was just released in the PHP classes and also JS classes site, which is a new feature that is the actual main reason for the podcast being recorded so late this month. I was trying to finish it in time to cover it in this Hangout sooner rather than later, which is basically the support for PHP classes and JS classes to act as composer repositories. So first, for all those that are not aware what is Composer, there is this article that was published just now in the PHP classes blog, which tells you about what is Composer and how to install it and how to install packages with it and some other details of operation. So for those not familiar, basically installer is just a tool, a PHP script, an application that is made of several scripts, but since it is bundled as a far archive, you want to actually see how many files are in there, but there are many, certainly. It is not a small application. But what matters is that what it does, basically it can access repositories and download and install packages. And one of its main features is that packages that have dependencies, like packages that need other packages, the composer will actually download both the dependent and the dependency packages, and they will be installed both, and you can benefit of its features of all the packages that you are included, and they get installed in a directory named vendor inside your project directory. And also as a consequence of this, especially for PHP, it automatically generates code for an autoloader that considers all the classes that were installed. And this is, I think it is a great benefit. Cesar, I suppose you have been using Composer for quite a long time. Actually, you are one of several people that suggested that PHP classes also supports Composer. What can you add to about the benefits of using Composer besides what I have mentioned?
Well, the main benefit is that before Composer, even if Composer, it might not be the best thing out there, it has a lot of things that could be improved, although they have changed how we think in terms of libraries. Like, before that, you would just, you will have to install things in different ways, like every framework did it differently, every project did it differently. So what they have done is basically they provide a universal way of doing that, and that came in hands with the autoloading things. Like you just require one file and then you forget about it. Like, you just tell them, I want to use this given class, and you forget about where they are and things like that. And the way how the PHP classes composer works is even better of how you would do it manually, because it doesn't do any autoloading magic like any IO at runtime to just find where a given file is, because it compiles ahead of time a list of classes. So it's super efficient. It is as efficient as it could possibly go. So it's really great.
Right. So just to put this into context, just let me show again.
Yeah, sure.
Article, because it covers all the aspects. It basically tells you what is Composer, how to install it, and here there are some details that are relevant. It tells you that you can get the Composer from the Composer site, which is getcomposer.org. There are a couple of ways to install it. Actually, one is just the same, it also executes a script that verifies if your PHP environment has all the extensions, all the settings that are necessary to make Composer run correctly. I'm not going through all the details that I mentioned here in this article. This is the article itself has all the details, so those that want to know more will can read the article and know more about it. And then it tells you how to install packages, actually PHP classes packages with Composer. And it tells you about that you need to create a composer.json file. And here it's worth to mention a curiosity, it seems that Composer is inspired on Node Package Manager, which is an application of Node.js, and since it's JavaScript, this explains why practically all configuration files used by Composer are in JSON format, which is a way to serialize JavaScript data structures. And the basic Composer JSON file just tells you what packages do you need and where you can get them. In the case of PHP classes, there is the names of the packages all have a prefix named PHP classes, because this is one thing useful of Composer, which is the fact that you can get packages from different repositories, not just PHP classes, not just JS classes. It is also possible to get packages from JS classes, despite they are not PHP. You can packages can be any type of files, not necessarily PHP, even when you use Composer, which is basically an application for PHP projects. And here you can also specify some version requirements, and then you have the definition of repositories. If you don't have this definition of repositories, there is a default, which is to get from another repository named packages, which is managed, developed and managed by the Composer developers. And in the case here of the example, this JSON file is presented as a sample in the site, at PHP Classes site, so to get you started. So just to explain what this means, here it's, for instance, it tells you to get how to get the form generation package, which has to have this name, and here below it tells you how to configure to tell a Composer that to get it from the PHP Classes Composer repository. And here this line below, it just tells to not bother to check packages, which is the other repository, because in this case I just need packages from PHP classes. So if you need also packages from packages, you need to remove these lines. If you just need packages from PHP classes, it's better to keep this line, because it has a certain overhead to checking all the packages that are available in packages, and it takes a bit of time. So just to save you time, you just have this line here in case you do not need any packages from there. And then you just run a simple command to install the packages. And later, if you have newer versions of the packages or want to add or remove packages, you can run Composer update. And this is basically all you need to get you started using Composer. And other than that, there is a detail that is probably different from other repositories, is that the fact that PHP classes, at least for a good part of the packages, requires that the user is somehow authenticated to identify what is the user that is downloading the package. This is a feature of PHP classes from a long time ago, because it uses this information of authentication to know which users are using which packages. So when the packages are updated, you get an email from the site, unless you don't want to, but for those users that want to, you can get notified that, oh, there is a newer version, you can get it now, so you will benefit from bug fixes or new features. And the important part here is that by default, Composer would prompt the user to enter a username and a password. The username for this would be your username in PHP classes, but the password is actually a different password from the actual password that you use to access the site. It's just a token that is more secure, because if somebody steals your token, they still won't know what is your real password to access the site. So, given this, The only detail that is worth mentioning here, besides what I mentioned, is that if you tend to update or install frequently, it would be a bit tedious to enter your username and password at once. To avoid this overhead, there is a guy named Stefan Ockdorfer. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing his name correctly. I hope he can excuse me. He is from a company named BitExpert, and they developed a patch to make this authentication configuration more usable. So instead of you entering the username and password manually, you can just define a configuration file to define what is the username and password for all the repositories that require authentication. And this is the sample configuration to specify your username and password for accessing, for installing packages for different repositories. There is, for instance, one for PHP classes if you need it, and another for JS classes if you need it. The username are equal in the different sites because they share the common system of accounts, but the actual passwords are different because the sites are distinct and they keep a different user base with tokens for accessing your Composer repositories. But don't worry if you need to go through this again, just to read this article. I'm not going to talk much further about this. It's just given an idea of what is the same as when you use a Composer with a regular other repositories that do not require authentication and what is different. Other than that, one good thing that I was already mentioned here is regarding the auto-loading of things. As Cesar mentioned, in case the PHP classes, you have your life simplified because usually you have to configure, create a Composer JSON file to tell how to use what standard of auto-loading rules you would need. In the case of PHP classes, the site already knows which are the classes files and it tells Composer, oh, these are the class files, and the Composer then does something magic behind the scenes, which is to read, parse those files and extract the class file name. So it generates a very simple array that is used for configuring the auto-loading. And on the part of your application, all you need to do is just include this line here in the beginning of your scripts that just say require vendor auto-load. And this vendor directory and this auto-load script are automatically generated and updated by Composer every time you need to install or update your packages. And then in your application, all you need to do is just create objects referring your classes as usual. You no longer have to go through all the process of requiring the class files explicitly. So instead of having a bunch of require statements, it's all simplified with the auto-loading feature and the support for Composer to generate the rules according to whatever is installed in your system. And I think this is great. Cesar, you have been using this for quite a lot. I think it's much more productive to do it this way. What do you think?
Do what? The auto-loading or...
Yes, the way Composer promotes simplification of auto-loading.
Yes, yes. It does save you a lot of time. I think it's worth mentioning that they are several kind of auto-loading. There is a PSR0, I believe, that tells you how you should write your classes using namespaces or just plain class names. Right. I believe that is a great recommendation to follow, but I don't like things that force you to just do right. things in a certain way. So they support also a class map. So yes, glad true. They support that, and so that's why you can easily just use any PHP classes, and regardless how class are named or into what exactly. folders they actually are, it will work. So that's fantastic.
Yes, that's a good point, because many users, I look at classes that are approved in PHP classes every day, and the greatest part does not use namespaces at all, because they do not feel the need to have namespaces. Namespaces are good to avoid collisions of classes that may have the same names, but they are from different packets, probably from different authors. But most of the authors do not have that concern. So forcing the users to follow a PHP recommendation for rule for applying something that they are not they would need to change their code to starting applying yes. namespaces, and probably some of them are using older versions of PHP that do not support namespaces, probably it would be a bit awkward and discouraging. So I think the support of the class map, which is the way PHP classes tells Composer where are the class files, it's a way to please all types of audiences, types of developers, regardless if they use namespaces or not, or if they follow some PSR recommendation or not. Yes. I'm not following it accurately, but by the way, it's. I think there is a new recommendation for autoloading from the.
They are
big
several.
Group, right?
Yeah, there are several recommendations.
The PSR
four. Yeah, the first and the last one are for autoloaders. I follow the PSR zero. I follow it because I want it. I think everyone should do that, but. Everyone, they should do it if they wanted to. So,
right.
I try to read the last recommendation. I don't follow, and quite frankly, I don't care. Like when I have one problem with one library and Composer, I just say, okay, just create me a class map or of this directory, and I forget about it. So I did that. In two projects that Composer it didn't like how I was loading things, and I said just forget it, just create one class map. And if you think about it, at runtime, like when you are running production code, that is the best way actually,
yeah.
Because in production code, look, how likely is that one request will change one library like 1 second apart? Is
yeah.
So why even bother checking? So
I
have to say that is great to see that PHP classes support Composer. I would encourage to people to just enable it, because I believe they should give permissions,
yeah.
Right?
Right. Well, the way it works for now, I would rather have the people to do it with the consciousness of what they are doing. But I also believe that probably some authors are not yet aware, and some users may want to use packages from Composer. So what I plan to do, which is a bit different than what is already detailed in this article, is to, if there is one user, one logged user that wants to access a package of using Composer, it automatically adds the package to the Composer repository. Users will not depend on authors to do it explicitly. It will be added to the repository. This already happens to dependencies. For instance, if you have a class that depends on another, and the author of the other class did not add it to the Composer repository, the site will add it manually and tell the author that it was added. So it probably come to the site and verify if everything is okay. And the hope is that all authors get educated about the use of package installers, being Composer or others, because there are other package installers, not just Composer. I remember, for instance, there was, since a long time ago, there was the Pear package installer, which is more oriented to Pear repositories. And there are others, and I think I suspect that somebody will also develop new package installers after this. Although I think Composer provides a reasonably good solution for this. And
I remember that I was doing something a year ago. Then I stopped. I say that Composer is good enough, and I like, to me, it's not an exciting problem to solve, so right. I just stopped doing that.
Well, what I think is that probably some people will develop I would not say forks, but say new package installers that probably are compatible with Composer but have certain features that for some reason were not added to Composer. I don't know if it will be the case, but for instance, there was, as I mentioned, that Stefan here added support to specify the authentication configuration to Composer, but that feature was requested, and he actually sent a pull request to Composer project like 3 months ago. There was a dialogue, but after the dialogue, there was no follow up on whether that feature would be merged or not. So, since that feature that's needs, it's something that will not please people that need that feature. And probably that motivates people to develop better installers that can be Composer or something else. But talking about that, there is something that a Composer by default does not handle very well, which is the installation of the so-called asset files, like for which are like, for instance, JavaScript, CSS, and images. Because the way it works, packages are installed inside the vendor directory. They have subdirectories inside the vendor directory. And if usually the vendor directory is not inside the web document root of a site. So after installing, there will be the need to somehow move those JavaScript, CSS, and image files to somewhere under the document root that is more what the application needs. Currently, this can be addressed with an add-on application, an add-on package. And I even mentioned this in the article because it is it addresses a need that many, many projects have. They also have their own JavaScript packages. They need to go somewhere. And Composer, for now, can be used to solve this problem with an add-on. But it would be better if this feature was built in. And there is a common configuration to define where the files go. So you do not rely on different extensions, different Composer plugins that use their own configuration options to define where the files go. So this is just one example of a need that is not yet very well addressed. Hopefully it will be addressed better in the future. For now it's addressed with plugins, but nothing stops anybody to create a new package install that addresses this better. And there are many package installers, for instance, for other languages, for JavaScript, there are quite a few. I think they could also be used for PHP projects, just like Composer can be used to install JavaScript files. JavaScript installers could also be used to install PHP files. And this is just to mention that when I talked with Stephanie, he mentioned that some people prefer Bower, which is a JavaScript package installer. I don't know if you are familiar with that.
The good thing about Relion into Bauer is that it is sponsored by Twitter somehow. Like, two Twitter's employees are involved in the project, so they certainly they do have money, and Twitter uses it. So, yes, I use it. And the funny fact about that is because it is written into JavaScript, you have to install Bauer using NPM. So much irony. You need another packages installer.
Right. There is not a single solution of downloading a Composer file. Okay. Anyway, I think it's probably one of the best things that happened in the latest times in the PHP world. I think this started to grow up in 2012, I think, and not everybody, but lots of people are talking about it, because I think the greatest part of the people that use Composer are people that are used to command line, to the command line. But still, a great part of the PHP developers are using Windows. They prefer things more GUI oriented. So I think, although it's a good thing, there will be some hurdles in the adoption of Composer or any other kind of command line based installer.
Now that they think of why nobody is doing some web interface for Composer or any related project that actually can work using the PHP server.
That could be an interesting topic to address, for instance, by a new type of installer or a fork of Composer or an add-on that works well. Because the way it works now, Composer can only be called from the command line, the shell. And on environments on which the shell is not enabled, that will be a struggle to install things. Actually, struggle is not the word, it will be impossible. And this probably it would be a problem to the adoption. And but it's I agree with you. It's an idea for eventual
definitely.
Evolution.
Definitely.
Yeah. In any case, as I was going to mention in the PHP Classes site, I wanted to encourage more authors to do this so they get up to date and on their practices. I think this using installers is a good practice because it solves a lots of problems that you are usually a drag to deal. And besides a section on this article on which I tell each author what they need to do to provide packages PHP Classes repository, I also have a topic here below on tell them that they can earn more reputation and credibility when they support Composer, adding their packages to the Composer repository intentionally, not just automatically like the site promotes. Anyway, the site tries to make it even easier to support packages in the Composer repository, to add their packages to the Composer repository by cutting a few hurdles. One of those hurdles is the need to define a composer.json file. It's not necessary. Usually, when you develop a package and we want to put it in some kind of composer repository, you need to define your own on our package composer.json file. The PHP Classes site automatically generates all the definitions that otherwise you would have to create in the composer.json file. If your package already has a composer.json file, the site will read your definitions from there and integrate those definitions. If you don't add them, it's not necessary. The site will take care of extracting all metadata, and it will actually generate a composer.json file for you. And this is useful, because all you need to do in the end is just to do a few clicks and add the packages, all packages or just a few, to the composer repository. And another thing that the PHP Classes site tries to solve is the versioning. Every time you do an update, the package version needs to be bumped, or otherwise Composer will not know there is a new version. So what the PHP Classes does is first checks if your package already has an assigned version number. If it doesn't, it assigns it to 1.0.0. And then if you add, update, or remove any files to the package, it automatically bumps the version by increasing the lower digit of the version. So if you were on 1.0.0, it will become 1.0.1. And if for some reason you don't like to what is the actual version it ended up with, you can bump it manually by going to the package editing page and put the correct version number in there. And, well, as I mentioned, all this is to simplify the user's composer, so we don't have to go through much of the effort. So Composer already solves a lot of problems, but in this case, if you publish your packages in the PHP Classes site, it simplifies it even further, so you don't have to think too much on how to do it. And as I was mentioning, the site even tries to encourage the authors to do it, to add their packages as soon as possible to their repositories, because the site will award reputation points to every package that you add to the Composer repository. And this will let you increase in the ranking of authors, class authors, by reputation. So all the points that you have earned so far for all the good actions that you did as a class author, you will get extra points for this. And as I mentioned in the past, later you will be able to redeem those points to obtain additional privileges. But this part is not yet implemented. But the idea to follow up through that route is there. And additionally, one last detail, which is, if you have already your PHP Classes account linked with your Facebook account or Twitter account, when you add your packages to the Composer repository, the site will post in your timeline for you, telling that your packages were added to the Composer repository. So everybody that looks what you are posting here in your social networks will eventually notice and come to the site, because it will hopefully will get you more credibility and reputation. And well, many things were implemented here to encourage the authors to jump on the Composer bandwagon. Cesar, do you think this will encourage authors, or do you still see any hurdles that will prevent them to adopt Composer somehow?
I think that they should. I believe also that even if they are not using Composer, that whenever they release a new open source project, they should share it to their Facebook or to their Twitter or to the any social network. Like, the benefit is that you gain visibility, and people, when they will hire you, they would look at those numbers. They might Google your name and what you've done. So that definitely helps. Plus, now that you give them points, so they can even appear in the website in the ranking. So I believe that it is a win-win situation that they should, like, they should do it. I mean, they can lose anything and they can gain a lot of, like, if I can talk personally, like, I think that most of the work that I've got so far has been because I've been doing open source, and much part of that open source is at my PHP Glasses account. So I can't say where I'm working or what I'm going to be doing, but when that's official, I'm going to announce, and it's a big company, and it's just great. So if I can give out... Yeah, I can give names until it is confirmed, but it's just because of open source, like, and gain visibility is it's the way of actually doing it.
So that's a sort of something recent that happened, some job offer that you got. Well, I don't know if you can comment.
Yeah, it's a huge company. It's not from America. It's from New Zealand, and that's all I can tell. So.
Oh, New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many companies in New Zealand that are being?
I don't know. That could be so exciting. I don't know.
But you, now that you talked about it, but hopefully, if you.
Make it.
You eventually come here and tell us about it, or is it super secret?
Not really. They are a very open source friendly company, so I wouldn't have any problems of saying anything. So.
Okay. Well, in that case, good luck for you. I'm sure that you deserve for all the contributions that you have done. And many people follow your work, so I'm sure they will be happy to know whatever is the big secret company that you are talking about. Anyway, just to conclude this topic of composer, I actually talk a lot about it because I think it is important to mention one last thing that I mentioned in the article. The composer support is one of the features.
One question that many authors might be fearing when they enable that. If somebody downloads one package through composer, will that boost the download counts so I could be ranking better?
Yes, that's the reason why the downloads are authenticated. That's the reason why. Actually, so, there are two reasons. One reason I already mentioned, which is the site keeps tracks of users that downloaded it, and once the site knows which users have downloaded it, when you update your package, it sends an email. So you can this way you can establish a network of users of your packages. And the other detail is that since it can track the number of downloads that unique users, not installs or views or hits. A user may download your package 10 times, but in the end it only counts one time. That's the real measure of reputation that you have. And the site counts the number of unique, distinct users. Since the beginning of the site that downloaded your package, it doesn't matter if you download it via the web page or via Composer. It's the same tracking method. And that number of distinct users will appear exactly on your reputation page. Now that you mention it, let me show for whoever never seen this in practice. At the top of your page, when you are logged, there is a number here that shows your reputation number, reputation count. And you click there. And it opens a page. It shows a nice animation of how many points you've earned recently, and shows your current reputation number. And then there is a log of the actions that you did in the latest times. One of the actions here is the number of users of your package.
Wow.
And so this number, for instance, this is my profile. In my case, 264,263 users have downloaded my package so far. These are unique, distinct users. And for you, it will appear a different number, depending how many users downloaded your packages. And for all users that have published their packages, it's the same. And all this counts to one specific type of reputation, which is the class author reputation. So when you click on the class author reputation link, it will detail all your actions as class author. And here you see the user of packages and package added to the installation repository. In this case, it's Composer. So all your package years. One day ago, I added all my packages to the Composer repository, and it's like 30 packages, and it shows all the points that I earned for that. And you can even go and browse to the past to see your past actions. If you remove something, discount the points that you earned before. If you add something, you earn more points, and so on. Well, this is just an idea of what it means to have reputation in this site. And anyway, back to what I was just saying, just to conclude this part related to Composer. Composer was just support is just one of the features that I mentioned that would be developed earlier in June when it was the 14th birthday of PHP Cluster Site. It was one of the planned features. The list of features that I listed that I had there, it was just a tentative list, not necessarily by the correct implementation order. Guessing what is the more important to implement next, it's a bit hard. Some things seem to be more urgent than others. The next thing that I hope to implement is to implement finally a better navigation of package files for users that go to the site, because many users are complaining that they do not like the usability. I confess that I do not like the current usability as it is today, because nowadays it could be more Ajaxy and minimize the number of clicks that users have to go through to navigate through all pages. So that hopefully, if it all goes well, that will be the next improvement to be done on the site. And I decided to do that because some people are complaining, so it's important to address that need next. If anybody has a different opinion of things that should be implemented next, I also like to listen. I don't know if you, Cesar, have any ideas of things that should be implemented next, which would be more important.
From the top of my head, I do not know, but if I have some, I would just write you an email. I have an advantage that I can send an email to the site owner.
Yeah. Well, anybody can send an email to the site owner. The email address is in the site. Anyway, I also like to comment that I love criticism. Sometimes people take me wrong because when they ask for something, I explain why it is not implemented. They think that I'm against them, which is totally not the accurate. Sometimes I have to consider things that probably did not cross their minds. And when they explain them, some people take it personally and be upset. Don't be upset. I appreciate criticism probably more than people making compliments, because criticism helps the site to move on and things get better.
Exactly.
Okay, now finally move on to one final section on which you comment on the latest nominees to the Innovation Award. And they start first. Let me open the window here. Where is it? too many windows. First, we comment on the latest nominees for the Innovation Award of September in the JS Classes site. I think I miscounted the months in previous editions of the podcast, so let's try to make it correctly this time. So we are going to talk about the nominees of September that were voted in October, and then in November the results came out. So there were like three nominees. Cesar, which ones would you like to comment this month?
Let me see how it's named. It's SecStore, and the class says that it lets you store data securely using some encryption algorithm, which is named AES.
If you can could share the screen with it, okay.
I don't know how to do that. It's really buggy into my Linux. Can you open the window for me, and I will just...
You cannot share the window?
No, it's broken here.
Maybe clicking twice. Yeah, the window may not be minimized. You need to... If it is minimized...
Okay, let me just make it bigger first. Then just switch to... Share screen. I believe I should choose the desktop, right?
No, it's the other. There should be an individual window for...
Can you see my screen now?
Yes, I can see it now.
Okay. So I opened the README file. So I think this class is...
I think you increased the font a bit too much.
Okay, yeah. So basically what this class does is it lets you put things into the client browser. So you add some state to your web application, so you don't have to persist everything into the server side. And the problem when you do that is that you cannot trust to your clients, to your browsers. People can just change things, they can just break things. So what this class lets you do is that you can encrypt before saving. And a very good thing that caught my attention is that it lets you do either if you have like cookies, it lets you just save tiny data if you have cookies. And if you have like HTML5 support, it lets you save like 5 megabytes. So I have a lot of usage for this library. In fact, I've been using things like this into production work. I did it myself. So I would just drop whatever I was using listfully and just use this.
Yeah.
So I think it is really, really useful. It was written by Jason Gurfin from the States. So kudos. Kudos and thanks for sharing such a wonderful library.
Yeah. On my behalf, I would like to talk about the other two classes. Actually, I think we mentioned it in the other month, but now we are trying to put things correctly. And basically, there is one of the components is just to show some rulers and guides on screen, so you can make it look more or less like Photoshop, on which you can put some guides to important parts of your drawings. In the case, it will put it in your page and show those guides. There are some screenshots that show it better. And you can see how it looks. There's another one. And this is interesting. This one is from Mark Rolich, Armenia, a regular contributor. Actually, he has sent already 10 packages, which is great, even more because 4 of them were nominated to the Innovation Award. Even one won the Innovation Award, so kudos to him for his contribution. And actually the one that won the award for the month was this one. And the other one that I also would like to mention this month is the the one that is called Element Sort, which is basically a jQuery plugin that can sort page elements that are inside another element, like, for instance, a listing that is contained in some container element. And this one is from Shiju Thomas from India. So kudos to Shiju. Well, for JavaScript, that is all. Now, for PHP, we have much more to talk about, but we won't have the time, so we just can comment like a couple of classes, each one of us. Cesar, which ones would you like to comment?
Well, I would choose my own class, but that was so selfish. So I choose to the most. So the first one is named chaining functions. That basically it lets you create one object, and you can just put it like to my variables. I would like to apply this given function, then this given function, and then this given function. So you could just put it into a queue, and then you can execute them. So I think that is really cool. Like, I have some usage myself. It was developed by Agustinas Malinas. It's so hard to pronounce. I'm sorry. I believe it's she. She's from the United Kingdom. I might be wrong. I'm sorry. Right. That name in Spanish looks like a female name. So I'm sorry if I'm doing something wrong.
It's that name sounds Greek.
Yeah. Oh,
the fact is, he's in the UK, not necessarily was born there, or maybe he's from a family from the different countries. So maybe, it's hard to tell if he is a he or she, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that it was a great work.
Yeah, really good work. I might use it in the future. And then the other class, it's the... I don't know how it's called, so I'm scrolling up. It is called PHP Ubuntu 1 Backup. It was shared by Oscar Diaz. So I know that he is a male because it's an Spanish name or Latino name. He's from Brazil. And what this package does, basically, it lets you put files into Ubuntu 1. I see from source code that it doesn't ask you for any passwords, so that's something good. It does the OAuth authentication, and as an additional, it abstracts you how to make MySQL dumps and how to save them as your backup. So really cool.
Right, that's great. And on my behalf, I also like to mention a couple of interesting classes. Unfortunately, there are many more interesting classes this month, but we can just comment a few. Let me comment first about this one called MySQL Functions Using PDO. The title says it all. This is a wrapper around PDO that provides a set of functions that are compatible with the MySQL extension. And this class, provided by Aziz Hussein from the United States, is interesting because it somehow addresses a need that applications that need the original MySQL extension, it is being deprecated in the latest versions, and eventually it will be killed for sure, although when the idea of killing the MySQL extension some time ago was announced, I wrote an article saying the plot to kill MySQL extension. People said, oh, no, it's not going to be killed. Yes, it is going to be killed. It's a plot, and it is going to die. So a lot. This is bad, I think, because it will break many applications, and it will discourage people to upgrade to newer versions on which MySQL extension will be killed. But at least this package by Aziz provides a workaround to address that need without having to set people back to older versions on which the MySQL extension is not killed. So I think it's a great idea, not just innovative, but also useful. So kudos for Assis for his package. The other package that I wanted to mention, this one is by Peter Kao from Hong Kong. Basically, he developed a package that attempts to provide better handling of the missing pages in your site. Usually, requests to missing pages issue the status 404 for in the HTTP request, and usually there is an error handler that will take care of the pages that are missing. And this is where this class enters in action, which is something that it does to try to find pages that match better the URI of the request. Probably it was a request that somebody mistyped and missed some letter or some other part of the URL. And this class tries to find a better match for the current missing URL and redirect to that page. So I think this is a great class. Well, with this, we practically ended this podcast. It's already a bit long. I'd like to thank you, Cesar, again for coming talking about the PHP topics and also about the new features, specifically the Composer support on PHP classes and also JS classes site. One thing that I just forgot to mention is that the JS classes, there will be a new article hope to help people to figure out to deploy JavaScript packages using Composer with an additional plugin for Composer to map the files to the right directories. And so stay tuned to that article that will appear in JS Classes blog. So I don't know if you have any final comments, Cesar?
No, that should be all. You know that if you need a co-host, just let me know. I'll be here.
Yeah, well, Hernani was supposed to come again, but for some reason he couldn't. He's probably very busy with his personal life. Let's not push him to come when he can't. And it's always a pleasure to have you here, Cesar, with us. So on my behalf, that's all for now. Bye.
Bye-bye.